Welcome to the After Show with Mackenzie Stewart and Amy Shannon. With over 15 years of experience between us, we have, excuse me, our mission is to educate and assist authors of all writing levels. I'm Amy Shannon, and Mackenzie Stewart is off for this half hour. But we are very excited to in of our guest today, Angel A. Would you please tell us a little bit about yourself and welcome to the show?
Hello, Amy. So, yeah, thank you very much for inviting me onto the show. It's greatly appreciated, and lovely to finally speak to you as well in person. I get so many of your reviews. You're a reviewing machine. You review so many books. That's fantastic to see them. I guess for myself, I'm Australian, as you can hear from my accent, and I also work in film. And the idea of writing really only started because a previous project that you also reviewed, Mariposa, was a project that I thought we need to flesh it out into a book and see if that's going to sort of help with the story, which I believe it really did. And so, because that was very successful as a novel in itself, I thought in this time I'll do the same thing. I'll write a script first, and then once I'm happy with the story, I'll work on the book. And so that's my journey with being a writer.
Oh, that's really interesting. Have you always wanted or liked to write? I mean, did you have you written more than the two or Mary Poser and then the one we'll be promoting today, Holy Parrot?
Yes, so I think I've been sort of almost like a closet writer, not really realizing that writing was one of the strengths I could probably work with, because one of the stories I relate to was back in high school. I was encouraged to study science, which I did, and there was just a writing competition, and I thought, okay, well, I'll just enter this writing competition, and I won it, and I was like, oh, okay, so it's creative writing, and it's just nothing I'd really even considered. And so from then on, I showed an interest more in performance, in performing arts, and then I started working on the writing for the performing arts, and then it sort of now more recently it's shifted across to the novels. So yeah, it's sort of evolved, and it's not where I would have anticipated the evolution, but I embrace it, and here we are.
No, that's wonderful. A lot of times life takes us in a direction we don't even plan on, but it ends up being a good thing. So
Yes, I respect
I
that.
applaud
Yeah,
you to
totally.
keep for keeping with it. I mean, you're right. I read both of your books and anything that you write, I would be honored to read. I like your writing style.
Oh,
I
thank you, Amy.
also thank you for sending me the links to your book life reviews. I was reading over those. I saw that mine was included, but
Yeah.
I
There's some
always
lovely
read.
reviews there.
Oh, yes, you just have a way with words and telling a story, and I found that this one was it was really intriguing, and I just really like that. So, if you could tell our audience a little bit about Holy Parrot, what it's about, talk about
Yeah,
your
sure.
inspiration for it, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah,
Thank you.
sure. It's about an Australian student who is working in Colombia, and he's there on a science project, and he believes his role is exclusively for this science project. But he runs into a girl called Maria, and Maria says that she's pregnant, and she's 16, and he sees that there's a bit of a kerfuffle going between her and a young boy, and he assumes to be friends. And then she then turns around later on in quite a dramatic scene to explain that she says that her pregnancy is not usual, that she actually has a parrot, and that parrot told her that she would be pregnant, and not only that she would be pregnant, but the pregnancy would be of the new Christ. And of course, for a scientist, that's obviously very difficult information to take in. And so he's more at the start humoring her, but then a lot goes on with this story with events that he can't explain. And there's a the almost like the world pays attention to this narrative that to this girl is projecting. And so he gets very caught up and learns a lot about human nature, spirituality, and faith, topics that he would never have considered in his own life.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense. When I think about scientists and how they they're very logical and they think of if they have to see something to believe it, some things like faith and religion sometimes can be very hard for because there's no scientific thing saying, oh yes, this exists because of this. So I found how when you were in the story that it was looking at it through, okay, this is logical, but it's not really, and it takes on this new journey into faith and the presence of of God and being just something that's not untangible, but it's there. So I found that that journey was really quite interesting, because some people just
That's right.
think creatively, or they have faith and they, or they're all about logic, one or the other. Personally, myself, I am both logical and creative, so I can see how they how it can mesh together, but not everybody can see that there can be science and faith and still be a human.
Yeah, so no, I think that's in many respects the purpose of the story to bring that disparity, show the disparity, and then try and find the common links of within our humanity that really bring us together. It's really something that we often don't contemplate. You do hear that people say, they're this or they're that, they're up or they're down, they're left or they're right. There's not really that investigation of points of view that oppose their own. And I sometimes wonder that really the essence of wisdom is to explore ideas that are different to your own. And so, yes, you can still, you don't lose your own ideas, but you expand as an individual by embracing more wisdom by learning how other people think.
Yeah, and it would be nice if more people actually did that in the world.
Yes. Well, and hence I think again why the book, if and I think the reviews as you read are sort of showing that as well, that it does allow the reader to have that point of view as well. It's like, oh, maybe anytime there's conflict, it's really important to fully understand the point of view which opposes your own. And then once you fully understand it, the conflict is less. It's more like, oh, I see why you're doing what you're doing, and I hope that you can see why I'm doing what I'm doing, and then we can work this out. We can work through it. But you're right, it's not a very common strategy. Yeah.
No, and more people should read this book, because
Well, thank
of,
you. Yeah.
yeah, I mean, because of that, I mean, it takes you to a place that you can't get to, by taking a plane or a train or whatever. That's the benefit of reading, that you can, it can take you off your sofa, but you're still theirs, and it gives you a new, stories, especially something like this. It just kind of gives you a new perspective, and you don't have to agree with someone on their beliefs, but you can respect them for
Yeah,
whatever that reason
that's
is.
beautiful.
And
Yeah.
yeah, and during these times, I think more people should read books like these, and I always tell people that they should read more children's books,
There's always a great
because
message in
yeah,
children's
because
books.
I read a lot. I mean, I read a lot, and I read all kinds, and children's books or books that, they have, there may be opposing opinions, but the conflict, like you said, the cl conflict is reduced to being, at least if you don't agree, if you actually listen to the other person's side, and then you can actually get, you don't have to agree, but you don't have to hate them either.
And possibly a children's book is a non-threatening environment for a lot of people to learn new ideas, because they're not really relating it to a children's book as being, something which is like a political essay or something like that, so they're not threatened by the context in the first place. And if they grasp a metaphor that they wouldn't have grasped previously through the storytelling of the children's book, then perfect. It's like a launch pad, isn't it? The metaphor, so that you can then take that idea into your own life.
And I mean, children's books are for children, but I think they should be, I think everybody should read them. And I tell anybody who listens, if I read a great children's book, oh, everybody should read this book. And
Yeah, terrific.
your book, I just it's just it's a wonderful story that just brings the reader right into it. And I was wondering though, what was your inspiration for this? I know you said you wrote the screenplay first and then you wrote the novel.
That's right. So inspiration in the sense of theme, or is there
Of
some
the
specific
characters,
there's oh
what was
yeah
it that
well
made said, I'm going to write this?
well I think it was the fact that even in my own life, I can see the disparity between people who have ideas which are very solid based in science, and other people who have ideas which are very, have a strong foundation in faith. And I can see the strengths in both, and I can see potentially the weaknesses in both. And so it was really, I feed parrots on my balcony, and a particular day I had some Colombians visiting, and we were talking about the nature of faith and the nature of ideas and of what people choose to believe, and particularly spirit, superstition, which was a strong element in the culture that we were discussing. And it just for some reason, it just really made me think that, where do these stories originate, and why do they originate? And I'd read so much about mythology. It's an interest of mine to read ancient mythology.
Mine
And
too.
I really thought it's fascinating the allegorical elements, that are within these stories. And I thought, well, I was aware that, there's different Christ stories for different epochs or different millennia moving backwards, every 2,000 years. We had we're finishing the age of Pisces now, we're moving into the age of Aquarius. We were before that the age of Aries, I believe, and then Taurus before that. And there were these living, dying, resurrecting God-man stories for each of these millennia. And so I thought, well, what about the next one? We're moving into the age of Aquarius. Is there a Christ story for this
Right.
new millennia? And I thought, well, I might as well write
Why not? And
it.
it worked
Why
out.
not? Well, I hope it worked out. Yeah, so far it appears to have worked out. So a lot of work, of course, and it is a huge amount of research on this project. It's taken me at least 4 years, to really nut out all the ins and outs of revealing the mythology and revealing ancient mythology that people may not be aware of, because a lot of people, once they're in a faith, they often believe that that's it, that's the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And often it's like, well, yes, but if you look back or speak to historians, you'll see that there were a lot of other stories that you may choose to read or not, you know. And so I somewhat bring attention to these without, hopefully going too far, just to sort of touch on the curiosities, I hope, of people's a curiosity of human history and human faith in human history.
Oh, definitely. And when you were doing your research, and I know when I do mine, there's a time and point where you gotta say, okay, I don't want to give, you can get caught up in all your research, and I know of that because that's something that I've been doing in the history of I've been researching the history of my hometown as a new project, and
Fantastic. Yeah.
it gets very it's. I get very excited, and I haven't been excited about a project in a long time. And then it's like, okay, I have to step away because there's just so much information. And how did you
Well,
know when it was okay?
I kind of take the opposite approach. I think, if you really feel passionate about something, and for me, passion is defined not really by excitement, but more something you're willing to bleed for, willing to, to work hard for. And that to me is when you feel something that strongly, and it can be really hard work, but you're willing to do the work, then that's ideal. It's almost like if we do then relate this to a mythological point of view, in some of the Eastern mythologies particularly, they say about, you've been put on this earth and you have something you're here to do, something to achieve. So get out there and achieve it. And so those whispers that we have that saying, you really must do this, that you wake up at, for me, I don't know for you, but I wake up in the morning and it's the thought that's already there. And it's like, oh, here, there's that thought again, there's that idea again. And it's so overwhelming that you think, all right, I guess I just have to do it and I will do it. And so in this case, yes, I took off to Colombia so I could work out where this story was going to occur. I had an injury at the time, so I turned up in a moon boot to Colombia, which probably wasn't the smartest thing I could have done, but I did it anyway. And then, sort of, despite being in a lot of discomfort, I really knew I just had to get this done, and I just allowed it. I just knew it was had invaded my consciousness so, entirely that I just surrendered to it.
That is just that's just incredible. You hear people do a lot of research, but to actually go to Colombia,
Yeah, yes.
that's pretty amazing
Well, I was
and
actually going
brave.
to go to another part of Colombia called Nuquí, which is on the Pacific coast, and it's really remote. Like you can't get there by car; you have to do a plane or a boat to get there. And it was 5 weeks before the trip that I'd torn my calf muscle in a race, and I thought, okay, so this is going to make it very difficult for me to go that remote. And so I spoke to my Colombian friends and I said, I need to change my plans. Where do you recommend? And they suggested up around the Caribbean coast, where the story now exists, around Tayrona National Park. And they hadn't mentioned the village that I chose of Burutaca, but I found it. And then I sat there, put my leg up, and thought, right, this is it. And I knew the story already, and I just had to make sure that everything fitted. And it was actually quite amazing because you really almost see the story as like it has occurred, even though it's just, I guess, imagination. But it really felt real for me. So I just it was actually very easy to make that place work for the script that had already been written.
Oh, that is just totally amazing. Did you have an excerpt that you wanted to read for us?
I thought, yes, I could. When you suggested that earlier, I thought I've got a section that has a bit of the conflict in it between Maria and her detractors. It has a bit of Spanish in it and it has a little bit of the ancient history in it as well. So I thought that's covering quite a few bases of what the story is about. So I could read that if you like.
Yes, that'd be great. Thank you.
All right. So where are we here? Okay, it's here. So, do you know about the bonfire? Gustavo piped up as he filled his mouth with the cake. Bonfire? On the beach, the Escupitajos are burning the books of Gabriel, he continued in his native tongue. It intrigued me that the word Escupitajos, which effectively means spitters, had clearly become a colloquial expression to refer to Maria's detractors. The spitters and the local priest have constructed a large fire, he continued. They are spitting on copies of the Book of Gabriel, and they'll throw the copies into the fire. They're chanting, God save us from this devil girl and her child. It's okay, we'll just print more copies. I'm going to put up the price. My translation of Gustavo's revelation made Robin squirm uneasily in his chair. Gustavo responded to his obvious disquiet. Nadie lastima a mi hija, he reassured Robin, who clearly didn't understand what was being said. Mi familia lo es todo para mí. I explained to Robin that Gustavo was reminding us that he was not going to let anyone hurt his daughter. Despite the reassurance offered by Gustavo, Robin remained agitated. There's something we need to discuss. If the legend is to be fulfilled, the haters, spitters included, will probably play a major role in the child's life. What are you saying? I asked. Historically, in every story from Osiris to Dionysus or Serapis Christus to Jesus, the Christ has been born, sacrificed, and then resurrected. People like the spitters are a potential threat to the child. The back door to the house slammed shut with a loud thud. Sylvia went to the back of the house to investigate. When she returned, she was quite distraught. Maria is gone, she blurted out in Spanish. What happened next, I can only relate based on the hearsay of onlookers who witnessed the events. There were so many people in Burataka by this stage that it was virtually impossible for anything to occur without someone seeing it. Maria was wearing only her sleeping nightgown as she strode toward the spitters and their massive funeral pyre of books. Despite her diminutive stature, she confronted the spitters with all the confidence of a raging bull. Do you want to be saved? She roared at them in Spanish. Do you think spitting on books and cursing me will save you? Are you so pathetic that you fear an unborn child? You want my baby dead? Here I am. Cast me on the fire and destroy us both. But you won't, because you are cowards. She walked defiantly amongst the spitters who moved away from her in fear. Your hearts are full of fear and selfish hate. You pray to God to save you, but why should he? Why would he save your pathetic souls? What do you bring to the world to make it a better place? Why do you deserve special treatment? Your wailing and crying is just for you and no one else. Maria approached the smoldering fire. She dropped to her knees and drove her palms into the ash. She wiped the ash over her face. Look at me, she faced off with the spitters, who were now wailing with fear more than ever. Yes, be scared, be terrified. I am showing you the blackness of your own hearts. It is in your reflection that you hate and despise, not me and my child, but your own selfish darkness. Maria began walking in the ash around the fire's periphery. Gabriel's message is clear. It is people like you with your spitting and cursing who will burn in the light of the new Christ. Spit on me now as I walk in the fire of my child's light. I dare you.
Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
It's a bit of an intense scene.
Yeah, but I think you picked the perfect excerpt, because if I hadn't read it, I would be very intrigued by it and wanting to read it. I was going through a lot of the reviews. So many were just, I mean, you're getting great reviews and for the story. And not all, I see how much that you know that reviews are important. But not all authors understand the importance of reviews, and not all readers understand the importance of writing a review.
No, yeah, it's I do think that there's a an element that the review is talking about two things. It's the book is somewhat just revealing an aspect of the reviewer. So I sometimes find that when I'm reading a review, it's like that person is introducing themselves to me because their worldview, their passions, their likes, their hates, their understandings, their paradigms are all coming through their review. And so I feel like I'm really getting to know people. And that's, and if ever there is a bad review, and a touch wood, we haven't seen one here, but it's bound to happen because it's, you do get people who are in a dark place. Sometimes you can read that that person is in a dark place and they're projecting it onto whatever they're reading. And so we don't have to be so angry about that or upset. It's, if anything, sometimes we can actually have a bit of compassion towards that because sometimes it's actually an expression of someone who is suffering and they just need to get it out some way. So it's so many things reading a review. It's yes, it's about the book, But I think I'm learning about the people as well, and I find that fascinating because my writing style is learning about people. You know, as you know, with Mary Poser, it was the same thing. I totally invested in discovering a culture and trying to work through that culture, just as I am here with the Colombians. And so I love the reviews, and I appreciate them. And if anyone's listening here, if you'd like to write a review, then please, I would definitely read it, and I would appreciate that effort.
Yeah, I never read the reviews for books I'm going to read and review until after, because I like to see.
Yes.
I don't want anything to cloud my judgment, because something somebody said. And I always look at it, unbiased, and I look for specific things with the story. Sometimes I just get so lost, and I'm like, oh, I got to go back and take some notes. But yeah, they are reviews are so important. And I remember one time, when I was first, I got a bad review one time, several years ago. So my father, we like to swap books and share books, and he gave me this book, and it was a book about reviews. They called Rotten Reviews, and they were real reviews of like classic literature. So he's like, whenever you see a bad review, and he goes, just look at this. You're not the first author, Mark Twain or Hemingway or whoever, and
Absolutely.
I keep that book, and it's just something that I enjoy, but I really, it's a love
Yeah.
of literature that I share with my father. But that was just something that always stood out.
And
Myself,
there's only
I always
some
look
things you have
at
to
the
take
story.
responsibility for. Yeah, you don't
Exactly.
have to take responsibility for every emotion that is projected in the world. You know, it's I remember reading the expression once. It said, "Your opinion of me has nothing to do with me," and I thought,
Yeah.
oh, "Okay, let me think about that." You know,
That's true.
and so it is kind of true. Yeah, and so yeah, allow people, I think, to their opinions. I believe, and of course, when I write, and I imagine you too, we're hoping to share something. We're hoping to offer a gift, you know, for the world, and because we think we've got something that might offer something, shed a new light on something, or open a new door. And so if the door is open, then a beautiful thing. If not, then okay. You know, it's just up to the individual.
That is so true, and people do not realize how hard it is to, we wrote, we put our heart and our soul into something that we wrote, and then we have then we're offering it to other people to read. They're kind of climbing in our head a little bit, so it's like it's not always, I mean, it's kind of brave when we let somebody else to do that. So but before we wrap up here, why don't you tell our listeners your website where they can find your work?
Oh, sure. So Angels Leap is the name of the website. So that's all one word. And so angelsleap.com. And that probably leads to everything else that may be available, whether it's social media and other aspects. So yeah, so that'd be pretty much the best place to go, angelsleap.com.
Great. Thank you for being our guest. And the listeners can also find your information on our website. So we have that on our website. So if they didn't want to write down that real quick, they can find it. Thank you very much for being on our show. And
Thank
I
you,
hope
Amy.
you
It's been
have,
fantastic.
you too. Have a good evening.
Yes, you as well. Okay.
Bye bye.